Welcome. You are listening to Aftersight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Thank you for joining us for Hobby Radio, read by Keith, amateur radio operator W0NX, featuring the November 2024 The Spectrum Monitor. We'll begin with a feature article, Rise of the New Shortwave Radios, by Robert Gulley, K4PKM. The world of shortwave radios has gotten a lot more interesting in the last few years, as a number of new entries into the shortwave radio market have made their appearance. This influx of new radios has a somewhat surprising source, China. While some of the more well-known radio manufacturers have either reduced their offerings or stopped making shortwave radios altogether, companies like XH Data, Radiodity, Cho Young, and others have stepped up to fill the void. Now, before anyone says, "Yeah, but there is a lot of duplication of radios just with different brand names or faceplates on the radios," I agree. However, the sheer number of new radios is still quite impressive, and a search for shortwave radios on Amazon alone is rather amazing, not to mention AliExpress, which has dozens of pages of radios ranging from a few dollars to some in the hundreds of dollars. The radios I am discussing are not the name brands we are used to, like Texon, Eaton, and Sanjian. These are companies which seem to have realized shortwave radios can be made with varying levels of quality and innovation over traditional shortwave radios, rather inexpensively. They have also discovered, not surprisingly, there is a market for such radios. The first and most obvious market for shortwave radios is China. China produces hundreds of hours of programming and broadcasts over shortwave radio. A search for China Radio International, CRI, broadcasts, listed on short-wave.info, an excellent schedule site, shows 552 times on the air daily, with many listings covering two-hour or more broadcasting blocks. By comparison, the Voice of America, VOA, has 142 listings daily, over 400 fewer than CRI. So, one might conclude they have a vested interest in selling shortwave radios, not only in their country but around the world. As one might expect, recent world events have brought about something of a renewed interest in shortwave radio, and inexpensive radios are certainly able to reach that niche market. I tried finding some actual numbers of receivers sold over the last few years, but couldn't find specific numbers. However, folks in China are reported to be purchasing tens of millions of shortwave radios annually, and in countries where religious freedom is not encouraged or outright punished, shortwave radio offers a way for people to hear messages which are all but impossible to block, especially away from major cities. Innovations. So what are some of the innovations being brought to market that make shortwave radios more enticing? Well, the ability to use the radio as a Bluetooth speaker, for one. Many newer radios offer the ability to pair one's phone or tablet to their radio to get much better or fuller sounds than produced by their phone. With bigger built-in speakers, you can place the radio on a picnic table or windowsill while you work in the garden or rake up the leaves. Similarly, some manufacturers are providing apps for Android and Apple products to allow control of the radio by remote. This is particularly true for radios without a direct entry keypad. This also allows one to place the radio in a good receiving location and operate the radio from an easy chair. Yeah, you can guess why I mentioned that feature. Another nice feature is to be able to take advantage of TransFlash, TF, card readers in some radios, which allow you to play your favorite song lists, even skipping over selections or playing random cuts, as well as podcasts or radio shows you might have recorded. While not exactly groundbreaking, some of the new radios are offering the airband. Depending on the radio and one's location, some radios only support FM, while others support AM, as used currently in the U.S. Most new radios have alarm modes and sleep times, some with temperature readouts in Fahrenheit or Celsius, dB and/or signal strength indicators, sound equalizers, and even sound shaping features to produce jazz, classical, auditorium, and other effects during music playback, thanks to audio DSP chips. Hybrid Internet and Shortwave Radio. A radio that has been produced under several different brands is the LC90 Shortwave and Internet Radio. A nice compromise for those who miss some of their favorite powerhouse stations which stream content but are no longer on the air, while still enjoying shortwave radio. On the internet side, you can search by style of programming, continent, country, province, city, and popularity. I find I enjoy searching by continent, a feature not available in earlier internet radios I have used. Another novel feature of this radio is voice search for the internet stations, software version 4.5. Of course, just like with any voice recognition feature, your mileage may vary in terms of accuracy. I do not have one of those broadcast quality voices, so sometimes voice recognition requires several takes to be understood. Still, it's a nice feature. The radio firmware can be upgraded by a USB connection to a desktop or laptop computer. Shortwave weather radios. Taking a slight detour, there are some emergency weather radios like the XH Data D608WB or the Radi RE40 offering shortwave capabilities, likely added to enhance their appeal. While shortwave radio can be useful as a source of information in a wide-scale disaster, more often this feature will be useful outside of more local emergencies. However, during a recent power outage at my location, I enjoyed listening to shortwave just for the variety of programming as I waited for the lights to come back on. I sometimes refer to these as all-in-one radios, since they offer weather channels, shortwave, medium wave, FM stations, as well as emergency features such as solar power, hand crank power, rechargeable batteries, and phone charging capability, along with a flashlight, compass, and SOS siren capabilities. They are not excellent shortwave radios on the level of a dedicated shortwave design, but they can work surprisingly well for shortwave, medium wave, and FM, given their portable design characteristics. As another example of innovation, the XH Data D109WB supports wireless calling through Bluetooth. While not a solar or hand crank radio, the included weather band allows for band and weather alert scanning, as well as solid reception capabilities on AM, FM, shortwave, along with ATS and memory features. A dedicated weather radio from XH Data, the D608WB, features an articulating solar panel, which also houses a set of LEDs on the underside of the solar panel. This allows not only adjustment of the solar panel, but also the ability to have an adjustable light source. These radios are a far cry from the cube-shaped Radio Shack weather radio my dad used in his business. Ergonomics. As you might imagine, there are many different sizes and styles to these new shortwave radios, with some built like the pocket transistor radios of old, some with indents for grips, others with handles. One I particularly like in this regard is the Greedio MD-T26, with a carry handle and simple, easy controls and a large LCD screen. Marketed as great for seniors, like me, and children, also like, never mind, One of its best features is that the radio can be powered by 4D batteries. I miss the days when this was a common battery for radios and flashlights. Why? Because they last forever. A similar radio is offered by Urich, YRRU8, but a caution with both of these radios. You must remember to remove the batteries if you want to plug in a power cable. For me, that means throwing away the AC cord and only using batteries, because I can guarantee I would forget that tidbit 6 months after buying one of these and would plug it in with the batteries inserted. Ugh. Build quality varies from radio to radio, but of the ones I have used, played with, or reviewed, most are surprisingly well built. I do not drop test radios, so no guarantees with regard to survivability if dropped. But in general, the radios should last a long time if reasonably handled. The weakest point on most any radio that includes a telescopic antenna is the antenna. Many are thin and easily bent. Fortunately, some manufacturers seem to be realizing this and are making antennas sturdier. If portability is a primary factor when purchasing a radio, then make sure you believe the antenna can withstand some bumps, or at least make sure the antenna can be easily replaced. Speaking of antennas, some of the more expensive models have multiple antenna inputs, such as the Rady RF919, which also sells under the Redecas TR113 brand. On top are two jacks, one for a loop antenna, or the included 3.5mm antenna, and one for a mobile antenna. There is an on-off rotary switch for the antennas, which is a nice feature, so you can leave an antenna connected while perhaps using another mode. On the back, there is a 3.5mm external antenna jack with a three-position slider control for tuning between medium wave, shortwave 1, and shortwave 2. This could connect to a wire antenna running along the walls in the house, or an external wire antenna going to a tree or a post outside. Chipset design. Most, if not all, of these modern radios revolve around the Silicon Labs SI47XX series of chipsets. These are relatively inexpensive, proven performers with extensive feature sets, with differences in performance and features based on design specifications by the various radio manufacturers. While there are detractors of these chipsets, particularly those who want specific features not possible in the current production chips, they are the reason so many hundreds of new radios have hit the market in recent years, with so many bells and whistles, and how these radios can be offered so inexpensively. As an example, many of these newer radios have excellent sound, not just because the chipsets do a great job with audio, but also because, as there are fewer components inside, speakers can be larger, thus producing fuller sound. Some of the mid-sized and even smaller radios have bass-boosting technology inside, and some have multiple speakers. Compare that to the tinny-sounding portable transistor radios of yore. I won't talk about the audio quality of my childhood portables back when the earth was cooling and dinosaurs roamed the earth. How to choose between all these radios? While price is obviously one of the main criteria when choosing a radio, it is not the only factor, and maybe not even the most important one. Most of us probably think in terms of the cheaper the better with regard to how much we want to spend. But for some, the opposite applies. You get what you pay for, is a familiar mantra. The fact is that the price for many of these modern radios does not reflect the quality or lack of quality. I recently purchased a $15 radio, which included AM/FM shortwave, with great sound, sturdy construction, and easy portability in a shirt pocket. I have reviewed radios ranging from low double to triple digit price figures, and the results were surprisingly similar in terms of sound quality, reception, and the included bells and whistles. One of the best things you can do is to research a radio that is interesting to you from a number of different sources. Magazine articles, blogs, YouTube videos, and of course, hands-on if possible. We have a wealth of information available to us these days, so much so, one has to be more than a bit discerning. I have several hobbies, for which I read, study, and watch reviews, and often I find people giving quick reviews doing nothing more than going over a product's spec sheets or feature lists, which I can do myself, and which in no way constitute a review of something. If someone takes the time to really test out a piece of kit, and then writes an article or posts a comprehensive video, then I am more likely to pay attention to that source. Watch out for sponsored content, or for folks who only talk about the positives of a product without also discussing the negatives. Avoid the shills whose livelihood depends on promoting products from the sponsors of their YouTube channel or blog. Another factor in deciding what radios to buy is the features of a particular radio. This is easier today than it was 10 years ago, because many value-priced radios have lots of bells and whistles, which do not add significantly to the cost. Still, if you do not see needing a radio with multiple antenna inputs, card readers, or Bluetooth connectivity, you will be able to spend less and still get good quality audio and reception from many radios on the market today. Customer service and warranty are, as always, important details, just as with any other purchase. Make sure you can return an item if it is faulty or unsatisfactory, and look for warranties which outlast the normal 30-day return policy of most online stores. As you read reviews of a product, look for long-time users, or at least folks who have really used the product longer than a week or two. I quickly skip 5-star reviews of folks who say, "I haven't really had the chance to use this since I got it only 2 days ago, but it looks great and the price was right." If you are an old-timer like me, you are used to tuning around, but likely enjoy direct entry keypads to jump around bands too. Many radios do not feature these keypads, but with apps now available for some radios, you can use a software keypad on your phone or tablet, so that might be a deciding factor for you. The ability to have a weather band might be important, or the addition of an air band may be what makes your decision for you. Ultimately, only you can decide what features, price point, and usability factors make something your favorite choice. The good thing for all of us is the availability of so many choices. There is something for nearly everyone. Wrap up. I have made no recommendations as to which radios, companies, or sources are the best, and nothing mentioned in this article should be inferred as such. My main goal is to bring some good news to the shortwave community, of which I have been a part for well over 50 years. That while we may have lost some significant players in the SWL world, shortwave is far from dead. We have access to more inexpensive radios than ever before, and while many powerhouse stations have left the air, there are at any given time many smaller and not insignificant stations around. And we haven't even touched on the utility, public service, or amateur radio stations on the air in these same shortwave bands. So, happy listening. And now Bits and Bytes by Gail Van Horn, W4GVH. W4GVHLA at gmail.com. Shortwave shockwaves from Austria and beyond. On September 9th, the Austrian Broadcasting Services destroyed a curtain array antenna at the Moosbrunn Transmitter Center. Located north of Vienna, the event was unannounced, allegedly to avoid publicity from protesters, as occurred during a previous demolition in Bissamburg. Reasons for the demolition were the poor condition of the antenna wires, and an ORS representative voiced that repairs would have been too expensive. The remainder of antennas are predicted to be destroyed in the future. Some of the Moosbrunn residents welcomed the demolition, expressing environmental issues, and a few amateur radio operators voiced concerns after a local newspaper mistakenly stated that it was the end of Austria ORF broadcasts on 6,155 kHz shortwave. My colleague Bill Tilford, NASWA columnist and host of From the Isle of Music and Uncle Bill's Melting Pot programs, stated, rebuttals pointing out that most of the Moosbrunn site was still operational began circulating very quickly through the shortwave blogosphere, and transmissions on 6,155 kHz are indeed continuing. Austria's Radio ORF airs the German news magazine program Morgen Journal, 0600 to 0635 UTC, Monday through Saturday on 6,155 kHz. Radio 01 is set to have their final broadcast on the weekend of October 26th, followed closely by a broadcasting giant, all in the interest of economics. Just as we were reeling from losing another long-standing favorite, the next shockwave circled the globe. On September 25th, a Facebook posting from Jens Hofstad on the Radio Joystick page announced, "We just received a frightening message. AWR has spontaneously decided to completely abandon its shortwave activities in 2025. Of course, Moosbrunn will be affected by the end of the year 2024 and will also no longer offer services." Adventist World Radio, a faith-based organization of the Seventh-day Adventists, began broadcasting in 1971, leasing shortwave airtime in Portugal. By January 1975, AWR was broadcasting in 20 different languages. On September 26, AWR confirmed that all leased shortwave broadcasts will cease at the end of the summer schedule period on October 26, including relays from Austria, Germany, Madagascar, Sri Lanka, Tajikistan, and Uzbekistan. This is an enormous expanse of shortwave areas and frequencies. KSDA in Agat, Guam, which is owned and operated by AWR, will be the only station retaining AWR programming. The Guam station reaches more than 3 billion listeners in 34 languages across Asia, including Bangladesh, China, Indonesia, North Korea, Thailand, and more. In the meantime, Ray Robinson from Voice of Hope World Radio Network confirmed to me that AWR canceled their Spanish-language shortwave broadcast to Cuba via WRMI, effective October 26. AWR reached all corners of the world to spread the gospel to billions. Like other active listeners, I was shocked, but understand it is a sign of the times we live in. AM radio bill advances. Attempts to keep medium-wave radio in American automobiles proceeded a step further in the U.S. House of Representatives. On September 18th, the House Energy and Commerce Committee voted 45-2 to send the bill AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act to the full House for a plenary vote. Thank you for joining us for Hobby Radio, read by Keith.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.